Well, it's a good day every day, I believe, for Jackie Bain, who is one of our esteemed Vietnam veterans, as well as Harvey Mayhill, along together. And I want to welcome you both. Good morning to you, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What is really great, Harvey Mayhill introduced me to your story, Mr. Bain, and I think it is an amazing one. Your title of this book is called I Gave My Life for My Country, the only soldier in U.S. history to be pronounced dead but lives. And here you are as proof of that, living today and thriving with your wife, Patsy. Good morning. Thank you for coming in today. We want to hear your story.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to be here today. And when I think about July the 4th, we think about freedom.
Mm-hmm.
We think about America made and think about all kind of things that happened, the fireworks and the parades and the cookouts, which I liked a lot, but, but I think most of all for freedom, and freedom always costs something.
It sure does.
Yes.
It cost many lives over the years for our freedoms that we enjoy today.
Mm-hmm. Well, restarting in your book, it starts right out as your beginnings in the U.S. Army, and you were a dog handler at that time, sort of like, I'll do the dog job. That's sort of how it seemed. You just sort of decide, I love dogs, I'll do that. Tell us a little bit about Bruno and how that experience went with that sweet dog of yours. He was a German Shepherd and trained to sniff out Charlie.
Yeah. Well, Bruno, when I met Bruno in Vietnam, we got on the job training with one another. That's the only training I had was when I got to Vietnam.
Uh-huh.
I saw Bruno for the first time. I said, that's a beautiful dog. So I took him as my dog. I picked him out. And Bruno was my faithful companion for 6 months in Vietnam War Point Patrol. Mm-hmm. We'll search destroy missions, night ambush, and just plain guard duty. One time I used Bruno to get information out of the enemy to help make the whole country ready for an attack that didn't come because we're ready for them.
Mm-hmm.
Bruno and I went on many missions in Vietnam, and I'm just not going to talk any but the last mission we went on.
That story is just as heartbreaking, where he was an exhausted dog at that moment, and you were saying he needs to rest, but he got a little bit of a nap. And then you went out on a patrol, and he wasn't able to sniff out that bomb. That's what went off and injured you.
Yes, we had been on patrol all night that long in the jungles in Vietnam outside of Chu Lai. Bruno and I had been alert all night because we were in enemy territory. Bruno and I went back to the base camp with Company F. I tied Bruno out, gave him some water out of my canteen, and I heard him laughing the water at it. And I heard somebody say, fall in, you too, dog handler. So we fell in and we had to go back out of the jungles again. The whole country was going to be behind us this time. So we got in the helicopter. The last one was on the first helicopter. Then we got off there and prepared for the next day. We stayed awake waiting for orders to move out. That order didn't come till the next morning. We stayed alert as much as we could that night. We were both two weary soldiers. We went on the trail the next morning. We heard someone say, fall out. So Bruno and I went up the trail, and that's the last thing I remember in Vietnam.
Now tell me about that injury. That is what started this process of events where you lost your leg, and they picked you up thinking that you were dead.
Yes, they thought that I was dead, and they sent me to Graves Registration where all the paperwork had been done on dead bodies. There was a big building, and about 13 bodies were there. Sergeant Bruce Logan, the young black man, he was doing the paperwork on the bodies. He had done several of them. I was the first body that came in. And he got orders to do my body first. He took my dog tags off and took all my things off of it and said name, rank, serial number, and blood type, and religious beliefs, Protestant. So he put all that down and started walking on off. And he said this had never happened to him during his time. That was his job. The dead bodies, that's his job.
Right.
Someone said, told him to go check every first body out. So he went, he didn't know what to think, but went and got my body real tight, real tight around my chest and around my wrist. Found a slight pulse.
Amazing.
When he found that pulse, he found life still in me. So he called the doctor in. The doctor gave me a shot, put me in an ambulance. Sent me to Field Hospital. On the way to Field Hospital, they lost the pulse again. They sent me to be embalmed. They cut the groin to embalm her, and fresh blood came out.
Oh, my gosh.
And a slight pulse. So they rushed me back to the hospital again, gave me blood, still unconscious. Now, that was in July 17th. 2 days before my 22nd birthday.
Oh, my goodness.
Unbelievable. It's just amazing. And your family at that time was just, your mom knew what was going on. Your mom knew that there was something wrong.
Yeah, because my mom and my dad both knew something was happening. And then they got the telegram saying that I'd been killed.
Oh.
And then they got a second telegram saying, forget the first telegram. He's still alive.
Just delete it. Trash that first one.
Unsend.
Yeah. So, Jackie, when you tell that story, and I know you go around to telling that story. I know you did it to our students here within York County and various high schools. When you tell that story, what's the reaction of people is just, I can't believe it. Just, again, hearing this again, I still can't believe it. What goes through your mind when you hear that story? Just that there's a higher calling that was just not, it is just not your time to go. Do you struggle sometimes with that story? Kind of talk a little bit about that.
I did struggle with it at first, but I say God's always got an answer for everything. Mm. And I said, I don't know what it was, but there's some answer that someone I could talk to, and there's nobody hopeless. There's hope in God.
That's
and
right.
I've always felt that way when I was growing up. My mom and dad took me to church Sundays, met the Lord in the church, and he never forsake me, never forsake me in all my lifetime. He said he'd never leave me nor forsake us. And all through my ordeal at Old Tree Hospital, when I finally woke up, my mother was speaking to a young black nurse's aide. She said, when are you going to take those tubes out of Jackie? And he said, as soon as he can eat on his own. And I made it get out. I don't know how I did it. I said, I can eat now.
Oh.
So they gave my mother some apple sauce, and she fed me the first meal by mouth for over a month.
Amazing.
I weighed 70 pounds at Walter Reed, and I weigh a little more than that now.
that's good Southern food for you.
That's right.
They said at Walter Reed that I wouldn't make it, and they told my mother to go back home and forget you had a son.
Oh.
But she said, I can't do that because he said, well, we've done all we can do for him. He said, well, I'll take him home and take care of myself. She said, no, that won't be necessary, Ms. Bain. By that time, the newspaper got a hold of the story. And no, I wouldn't do that, so they decided to take me down south, close to home to die.
Oh.
They sent me to VA hospital in Columbia. But you know, when you cross the Mason-Dixon line, in my estimation, I always like to say I'm a Southerner by. I'm American by birth, but I'm Southern by the grace of God. When I got to South, I started eating better and getting stronger.
Sure, yeah.
Got to be in the hospital. They gave me therapy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, Harvey, tell us a little bit about what it's like to know a man like this.
Well, I just wanted to say that because of Jackie's positive attitude is what we all need to take a look at for July 4th.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because back when this country was founded, there's a lot of the revolutionists that have probably gone through similar things as Jackie, but today we have the real living person that can share with us over the airwaves and over the television as to what really went on and how life is today.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have some problems, they're nothing compared to what Jackie has overcome.
Exactly.
So true.
And to show great love for mankind and love for our country, Jackie and Patsy are celebrating 40 years of marriage this
Congratulations.
Year.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
That's fantastic.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
Jackie, I think that this story is a story of faith. The whole story is a story of faith. You had faith in Bruno. Mm. You had faith in your superiors. You had faith in the folks that took care of you. And now your family, obviously, you guys have a wonderful partnership.
Yes, I met Patsy in the VA hospital and 74, and I did, as Brother Harvey said, I grabbed a hold of her tongue and didn't want to turn loose. So 3 years later, I finally talked them to marry me.
Wow.
That's been 40 years ago, and it's August, so we've been still over as much now as I did then.
Uh-huh.
So,
well, talking about July 4th, red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
I'd like to make a small presentation,
All
if
right.
I may.
Okay. Please.
I need to share with you about a gentleman from Bixby, Oklahoma. His name was Gil Cornett, who in 2012 painted a watercolor of the American Eagle. Now, he passed away 2 years ago this month, but before he passed, he gave out over 6,000 of these paintings just to people that are patriots. And his wife continues to do it. Sue Cornett in Bixby, Oklahoma. God bless her. She's now into another 6,000 that she's giving out. And she's given me a quantity of them and authorized me to pass them out here for special occasions. And this is a special occasion.
Absolutely.
Today. So Gil was a Korean War veteran, and he served in the Air Force, and he was an artist, and this is what I call the Guardian of Freedom.
Oh, that's so nice.
Gorgeous.
Jackie, that's for you and Patsy.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'll cherish that just like I cherish my blanket you gave me.
That's fantastic.
And Freddie and Lucas, I have a quantity of enough of these with me today for everybody at WRHI and CN2.
Oh, thank
you
so much. That is perfect.
Jackie, yours is already in your car.
thank you.
Oh, wow. You know, Jackie, too, I think your story so much is just defying the odds. And I love, folks, that you were told no. Mm. You were told this is it. Mm. You were basically dead twice. Mm. And you yourself, your heart still said, nope, this is it. The brain still said, no, this is it. Mm. And in that truth for everyone in life, when they get told no and they told they can't do this and they can't do something like that, I love folks that just say, well, you can tell me that all day long, but I'm going to forge ahead. And what a better example of that than you, and just an inspiration to us all.
You really are.
Well, the late Jerry Clowers had a saying. He said, ain't God good? I declare to you today, God's good, God is great, is all powerful, all loving, all caring. And that's what sustains us. When you feel like you have no hope, just turn to Jesus, and he got a hope.
Amen. Wow.
And you are certainly
Before I forget it, on the back of this picture,
right,
there's a little tag, and that has the telephone number on it.
Okay.
I would like to ask each person that receives one to give Sue a call and tell her thank you for Gil's painting, The Guardian of Freedom.
It certainly is.
It's so pretty, and it just speaks volumes to why we celebrate every day. We thank our veterans every day for what what we have today. Everything we're able to touch and breathe and walk and do, it's because of veterans like you all today.
And we certainly
appreciate it. Yes, exactly. And that picture right there is another great reminder. As you said, it's great to always celebrate the 4th of July and how you celebrate it, but pause for a few minutes to understand why we celebrate it.
True.
It's so true. Wow.
Jackie, you said Harvey had told me and relayed this sentiment that you made. You may have lost your leg, but what is it that really occurred? You didn't really lose your leg. You gave it to your country.
I gave it.
Wow. Yeah.
You gave it to the
he
country.
He didn't lose his life. He gave it for us.
That's right.
And so when that's the difference between giving and taking it.
Yeah, it is.
And Jackie, having been zipped up in a body bag twice, lack of oxygen, it's taken some of the motor skills, but he still can salute. There you go.
There, he just did it.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you for your service, everything you've given, and thanks to Patsy for taking such good care of you all these years.
Yes.
40 years, and happy anniversary.
And your smile and just your spirit, it's just contagious.
I
love it.
Patsy hasn't said anything.
She's okay. She's just support.
That's it.
Well, the book's called I Gave My Life for My Country, said Jackie Bain, the only soldier in U.S. history to be pronounced dead but lives. Great references to the Fort Mill Times in here, your Fort Mill experiences, and growing up with pastors and mentors in York County. Thank you so much for this book. We loved it.
Thank you so much.
It's been fantastic meeting you. Thanks to both of you for all
Harvey,
that you
thank
did
you
for
so
us.
Much, sir.
It's an honor. Thank you.